welcome to another episode of Great Lakes Football Talk. Before we get started, I just want to go over a quick few news and notes that have gone on in the NFL the past few days. First things first, Pat Shurmur, the Giants head coach, isn't exactly shutting the door on the possibility of Daniel Jones starting this year. Earlier in the offseason, even after Jones was drafted by them, he has said that Eli still has a few good years left and that he is a starter, but it looks like there's going to be a quarterback competition in New York, so that's something to look out for. Jalen Ramsey has come out and said that he's not getting an extension this year. He does have two more years left on his current deal going on, and it's not looking to be extended this year. However, they'll probably revisit it next year in 2020 and see if he remains with Jacksonville after that. Kyle Rudolph has re-signed a four-year extension with the Minnesota Vikings for $36 million. It does open up $4 million in 2019 cap space for the Vikings. So we'll see what they do with that extra money that they got there. And that's about it that we got. We're going to take a quick break here and then jump right into the show today. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Great Lakes Football Talk. Before we get on with the episode, we just want to give a huge shout out to all of our fans and listeners out there who continue to listen to us every single week. Feel free to share our episodes with your family, your friends, your coworkers, just so we could get some more listeners, and we'll continue to put out some excellent shows for you guys.
Do you need advice for your fantasy football team? How about your DraftKings or FanDuel lineup? Going4Two.com has you covered. Going4Two.com has exclusive content from some of the best fantasy writers in the industry, whose credentials include Bleacher Report, Fantasy Pros, and Fantasy Life. From advice columns to player ranks, Going4Two.com has it all. Sign up for our newsletter to have all of our content sent to your inbox. Start winning today. Visit goingfortwo.com because no one remembers the extra point.
All right, guys, welcome back. We have an excellent show for you guys today. Before we get started, we want to introduce you to our guest. He is a part of the Fantasy Football Fraternity page. He goes by the name of Pack Rat. His name is Eric. Eric, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hey, guys, how's it going? I'm a fantasy lifer. Been doing it since I was about 13, and I used to do some writing for Last Word on Sports, and then I fell into the Fantasy Football Fraternity about 5 years ago, and I found a great group of guys, and this is where I've been ever since.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. For those of you that don't know, the Fantasy Football Fraternity is basically just a great group of guys that plays in multiple leagues together, separately, home leagues, best ball leagues, dynasty leagues, just any kind of leagues, you name it, and that's basically just where we get all of our experience and our knowledge from. And we're in the chat every day talking to each other about what's going on here, what's going on there. And it's just, we don't claim to be experts. We just know a lot of what we're talking about, though. So let's get into today's show. Basically, we're going to go over, it's going to be ADP based, and we're going to go over some ADPs and some players that we like and dislike at those ADPs and kind of break down why. So let's start with one of the common ones. All three of us had the same guy, Damian Williams. Now, before we get started, we just want to mention that the ADP that we're going off of is the Fantasy Football Calculator, and we are basing it off of 12-team leagues. So if we ever give you a draft position or a number, it's based off 12 teams. So let's just keep that in the back of our minds. So the first one we're going to go with is Damian Williams. He is basically coming in as running back 13 with the 22nd overall pick. So that puts you right about the end of the second round. And we'll start with you, Eric. Why don't you tell us, I know he was on your list. Why do you dislike him? And we'll all go through this one together.
Well, my thing with Damian Williams is just where he's going. That's it. It's, you know, and I've been doing mocks the last few days, and he's actually sliding into the middle of the second round. And I wish there was a position where I could have Williams on my team because I like his upside. I think that he has the top five upside. He's part of the most explosive offense in football. So, you know, I want to have Williams on some of my teams. When it comes to the second over, you know, the second round, you know, I'm passing up on guys like Chubb and Fournette, guys that I know are proven in their offenses, can handle a workload. Williams has never had more than 13 carries in a game. He's, and you know, that's 74 or 75 career games, I think we're talking about. And you know, he is the starter and he does have the upside, but I just, you know, there's a lot of risk. There's a lot of risk there. They brought in Hyde. I think Hyde is a quality back. I know he's had a couple down years, but I actually think he's good. And I think that he could threaten Williams for the job. And I'm not taking anybody in the second round that I'm worried about losing their job or getting hurt like that.
Yeah, excellent points. I mean, you mentioned the 13. He hasn't had more than 13 carries. He started 7 career games. 3 of them came last year at the end of the year. And that's where all the hype is coming from, because of those 3 games that he played in all of them, but the 3 starts that he had, had some really good numbers. He put up running back 1 numbers, but I just don't trust it. I don't trust the workload. They did bring in, on top of Hyde, they brought in 2 other running backs just via the draft. I don't trust it. And you hit the nail right on the head with saying that other guys that you could get in that same draft spot, Leonard Fournette, Nick Chubb, maybe even a Joe Mixon falls down that far. So, I mean, I'd rather take any one of those 3 guys over really an unproven. The hype that he's getting is because of the offense that he's in. And that offense as a whole is going to take a huge step back. Whether or not Hill plays, and it's looking more and more like he will with the recent news coming out. But it's you know that they're going to take a step back this year. They're still going to put up points. I just don't know how much of it's going to be coming from the run game. Adam, what are your thoughts on Damian Williams?
Yeah, I agree with you guys completely. Give me Leonard Fournette, who can't stay healthy, over Damian Williams, who – honestly, I don't believe he can handle a full workload. Carlos Hyde, who they brought in, he, as you mentioned, he has had some down years, but he's also had good years. We know what he can do when he gets hot. And my biggest worry is I'm going to take Damian Williams in round 2, pass up a guaranteed every week starter for a guy who potentially before the bye week or midseason can end up getting benched and getting a handful of carries a game. I mean, it's too big of a risk. I mean, you know, it's the upside thing. Like, you know, you guys mentioned if I could get him round 5 or 6, maybe I'd take a gamble on him just because there is upside there. It's just when your first, you know, 4 rounds, you have to have, like, basically guaranteed picks if you want to have a successful season.
Yeah, definitely. There already is a lot of people going out there and trying to get their hands on him. And who knows? I mean, maybe it does work out. Hopefully it does, and if he's there and maybe an early 3rd round, I might take a gamble on him, but there's definitely going to be some other players that I'm looking at instead.
I would take him in the you know, at the end of the 3rd, beginning of the 4th, I would take the upside there, but the fact is, you know, until Spencer Ware was the backup last year, so he was actually the 3rd string running back on the team until Spencer Ware got hurt, and we know who Spencer Ware is. He's another guy. He's a good running back, but he's no one special, and Damian Williams couldn't beat him out for the job. So, you know, I think Carlos Hyde definitely has the opportunity to steal that job, not to mention the rookies you mentioned that could come in and take it too. So I'm just hard passing in the 2nd round. I don't want it.
Yeah, if anything, you go and you take Carlos Hyde in what, like round 8 or 9, and I think that pays off more value than taking Damian Williams in round 2.
100% agree.
It's going to be interesting to see. I know when it comes to our redraft league that we got, I probably won't be taking Damian Williams, so hopefully one of you suckers do. let's stick with the same with his teammate. I know he's not on your list, Eric, but both me and Adam have him on our list, Patrick Mahomes. And I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that the biggest reason why we both have him on our list is because of his position. He's currently – ADP is 31, and that's just for me – And even you guys talking in the chat, and pretty much all 10 of us would agree that that's way too high just for a quarterback. Doesn't matter who you are, that's way too high for a quarterback. You're obviously a Green Bay Packers fan, and Aaron Rodgers has been in this position before where he was the top guy going late 2nd, early 3rd, 4th round, and that's just way too high for me. And that's the reason why Mahomes is where I have him here. I love, obviously, 50 touchdowns last year. You can't beat that. Even if he takes a 15 touchdown dip, that's still 35 touchdowns. That's still quarterback 1 numbers. But that's quarterback 1 numbers that you can get later on in the draft from a guy like a Phillip Rivers or a Matt Stafford or somebody like that, where you can get into the double digit rounds. So that is one reason why I'm not taking Mahomes at all this year, aside from leagues that I have him in either Dynasty or Keeper leagues.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's I don't really care who it is. I don't take quarterbacks early. When Cleveland had this offseason where they got Kareem Hunt, Odell, I was thinking about really wanting to take Baker Mayfield. And even then, I was thinking round 5 or 6. I really didn't want to – I'm just not the person that goes and takes the quarterback in round 3 or 4 and, you know, bank on him to be one of my main guys. Because let's be honest, you know, you can go in, like you mentioned, get a Rivers and a Stafford, you know, and potentially get almost identical numbers to with, you know, Rodgers, Luck, and, you know, even back in the day where Brady was going in the 4th and 5th round when I you know, when I was playing. It's just – I don't think it makes sense when – you know, in quarterbacks are you can even stream them, like, to be honest. Like, I always take 2 quarterbacks basically back-to-back rounds or within 2-3 rounds apart and then just play matchups. And it you know, since I've been playing, I've done this since basically my first season playing. It pays off that way more. I mean, you know, your quarterback, any quarterback any week can really give you 23, 24 points. And they also can go and give you 15, 16 points. I mean – taking somebody, like, even though it would be great to have him home, especially in a dynasty league, you don't want to spend that early pick when, again, in the 3rd round, you're talking about your potential wide receiver 1 on your team. You're talking about your number 2 or number 3 running back on your fantasy team. I mean, you know, even if you're taking your 3rd running back, that's your flex spot right there. That's, you know, a reliable depth guy for you who can start on the bye weeks. I mean, it's just the you know, the payoff doesn't make sense for me to take a quarterback that early.
Yeah, definitely not. And again, Eric, I know he wasn't on your list, but you got any thoughts on Mahomes or just any quarterback early?
Yeah, the reason he didn't make my list is because I'm fully of the, you don't take a quarterback in the first 3, especially the first 3 rounds. I got a couple stats to drop on you. What? 8 of the top 16 fantasy quarterbacks last season were drafted around 11 or later. Mahomes, Ryan, Roethlisberger, Goff, Prescott, Rivers, Trubisky, and Mayfield. And that's top 16. But, I mean, that's what Adam was mentioning, where you can draft a couple guys late and you can kind of play them together and you can build up a quarterback 1 season with 2 different guys. And then, you know, and that's the other thing is, you know, we talk about taking Mahomes really early and even Rodgers early or whoever the hot quarterback is coming into the year. It's the same with defenses. It's Mahomes last year was drafted in the 14th round and he ended up being, you know, and as from NFL ADP, I don't know about calculator, but that, I mean, ridiculous, right? I mean, so he was the highest draft value probably of all time with that. And then the scoring he did, and Baker Mayfield is another, you know, where you got him if you even drafted him. He was pretty much a waiver wire pickup, but if you had him at the end of last year, he was a quarterback 1. And just one guy that I want to bring up in this conversation, because I don't really think we're going to touch on quarterbacks too much more, but if you decide to go Kelce in the 2nd round or Ertz late 2nd, early 3rd, Kittle, whatever, you know, I'm not too high on that, but I'm kind of getting into that now to have one of those top 3 guys, since the tight end position is such a wasteland, and have one of those dudes. And then if you wait and you just stack, so you get a running back in the 1st round, you get one of those guys in the 2nd, and then you stack running back, wide receiver for 8, 9, 10 rounds in a row, and you pick up Dak Prescott in round 11, round 12. And that guy's never finished outside the top 11 in 3 years. He's had 6 rushing touchdowns every year his first 3 years. The guy's floor is as high as anybody's floor could be. And then at the end of last year, once you got Amari Cooper, I mean, he was great. He was a great QB1. And I just, he's a guy I think that I'm going to end up with on a few of my teams this year.
Yeah, he's definitely one of those sleepers this year. I don't have all the same numbers as you, but you're like, Prescott is to you. Winston is to me. He's somebody that you can get in maybe around 12, round 13, round 14, unless everybody's listening to the hype there with Bruce Arians. But yeah, I mean, I'd rather just running back, wide receiver, alternate them or go 2-2-2 up until those later rounds and grab me a Jameis Winston or like I said, a Phillip Rivers or somebody who has your boy Mike Williams and Keenan Allen there to throw the ball to And then you started to touch a little bit. I don't know if anybody caught it, but you started to mention defense. Let's jump right into that one because Adam has a defense on his list, and that's the Chicago Bears, and their ADP is kind of ridiculous, especially for what the position is and what they bring to the fantasy football table. So, Adam, let's go into them. Looks like their defense won, but it's 85th. ADP is at 85, which – over a 12-team league, puts them right around, what is that, the sixth round or so? Adam, why don't you talk about them a little bit?
Yeah, it's basically round six, round seven is flirting in the area. And then this is from the very first day I started playing fantasy, no matter who I talked to, back when I was, you know, 13, 14, buying the fantasy magazines because I didn't know basically the first thing about it. The first rule is always wait to like the last two rounds to take your kicker and your defense because – your kickers and defense, the one year they can be the number one kicker, the number one defense. The following year, they're in maybe they're still in the top 10. But taking the first kicker and the 10th kicker, the first defense and the 10th defense, there's not a huge gap that's really going to, you know, make or break your team. You know, defenses are and kickers, they're two of the most streamable or the most streamable positions in any league. And there's some people that don't even draft defenses. And then when the season comes here, just cuts one of their bench players who isn't really living up to potential hype, and they go from there. There is no way I'm going to go and take the Bears defense over my – you're talking about round six or seven. You're still talking about your flex plays. These guys that you'll play every week, and they're going to, you know, outscore the Bears defense. I mean, you just – yeah, stud still. I mean, you can go and I remember at times you were getting the high upside guys like before Ertz really came up. I mean, you could have got a guy like Ertz in the sixth round. You could still go and get, you know, you're talking about in the sixth and seventh round, you can go get, you know, you can go get a guy like, let's see, a Jordan Howard who could pay off substantially more than a defense could. You're talking about a Nikhil Harry, who is a super high upside rookie. Even old reliable Lamar Miller. I mean, as much as guys want to talk about Lamar Miller, I mean, he always seems to do the job for his fantasy owners. I mean, I've had him numerous years in numerous leagues the last couple of years, and I always get good numbers out the flex position from him. You know, and it's why, you know, why would you go? And like, honestly, that Bears defense was, I think, somewhat of a fluke last year. I mean, Khalil Mack came in there and just basically was the best defensive player in the league. And granted, he's going to come back in there and he's going to be one of the top players again. But then you had Eddie Jackson and that defense who had numerous pick sixes. I mean, that's, I don't think that's going to happen again. And pick sixes, that takes away quite a few points. And then there's this, the NFC North as a whole, Rodgers, Stafford, Cousins, they all made improvements. The teams around them are better. I don't see how taking a defense, even as good as they were last year, that early is going to pay off at all.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a no for me. I'm not taking a defense anywhere above even the 13th round. I don't care if Chicago's still lingering around there at 10 or 11. It's way too early for me. I'm one of those kind of guys that a lot of times I will draft a kicker. I will draft a defense. It will be my 14th and 15th round picks. And those are positions that I'm hoping to just plug in and maybe not touch for a couple weeks and just hope that all I could hope from my defense is just to get positive points. I don't want them to go negative. Other than that, man, I do not care about what position or what team is there. If I see a waiver wire matchup that I could get and I like it and it's somebody playing against in recent years, Cleveland or somebody playing against the Jets or even somebody playing against the abysmal Bills offense, I would have grabbed them on the waiver wire. But for the most part, I'm just drafting a defense late, plugging them in, and then worrying about it when it's bye week time. Might not be the best strategy, but it really hasn't failed me, so I'm not going to go against it.
Yeah, hey, I'll jump in here.
Go ahead.
Okay. So I'm with you. And that's the thing. You grab a defense. I didn't speaking of which, Adam spoke for earlier in our dynasty draft that we just did, I didn't draft a defense, and I'm not going to take a defense until I see kind of where the landscape is, and then I'm going to take a defense that has a favorable matchup for the first 2-3 weeks, and then I'm going to play that, and then I'm going to play matchups afterwards, because that's what you do with defenses. I mean, not always. You can get if you can get a good defense in round 14 or 15 and play them all year, that's great. I mean, the year that the Broncos won the Super Bowl, the Broncos defense wasn't drafted as the top defense. I got them with the last pick in one of my keeper leagues, and they were so dominant. It was just one of the best draft. It was probably the best pick of the draft, which is kind of crazy for a defense. In 2017, the Jacksonville Jaguars were the number one defense. And in 2018, they scored 203 points in 2017. In 2018, they scored 115 points, which was almost half of what they scored, and they weren't even close to the number one defense. And, you know, going back to Adam's point, in round six, which is crazy. I don't know if I've seen him go in round six, but, round six, it's just to name them quickly: Mayfield, Geis, Boyd, Henry, Moore, Ingram, Sanders, Ebron, Daryl Henderson, Matt Ryan, Alshon Jeffrey, Tevin Coleman. I don't even like all those guys, but give me every single one of those guys over any defense, any year. That's where I'm at on it. It's crazy that they're going so high. People just get hyped up.
I was going to say it's ridiculous.
Yeah, honestly, it's like almost a waste of a pick. I mean, that's arguably the biggest gamble you can take out of any pick in the draft. And honestly, I would rather take one of our three teams' defenses, the Lions, Bills, or even the Packers, in the last round or the last two rounds. I would be more comfortable doing that because Green Bay's defense is on the come up. The Lions' defense should do a lot better after the signings. And Buffalo's defense is just going to get better by the game. And I wouldn't even be surprised if even two of those teams potentially are within maybe 10, 11 points away from Chicago's Bears at the end of the season.
Easy. And that's the thing. You draft the Bears in the sixth round, and you've locked yourself in. You can't stream it. You're not going to drop them. You drop them, you wasted that pick. And if you don't drop them, you're playing. And if they suck to start the year, you know, they got some tough offenses to start the year. They suck. You're going to put them on your bench. You're going to carry two defenses. That's bad fantasy football. You know what I mean? So it's just not good in general. I'm out on all that.
Yeah, you can't drop them. It's kind of like a slap in the face to you if you drop them. You can't not play them because you're wasting your sixth round pick. Yeah, just you make some great points. I just never see it. I don't know. It's gonna happen. I'm gonna be sitting at my buddy's house or sitting at the bar for a couple of our drafts. I got a couple live drafts, and I'm just gonna be snickering as soon as Chicago goes before the 10th round. It's gonna be. And I mean, it's not going to be me, so I'm not going to care that much. Let's move on to the next guy, a guy that both of you guys have on your list. I don't have him on mine, so we'll start with you, Eric. That's Sonny Michel. He's 37th ADP, running back 20. Why don't you guys like him?
He's like Damian Williams in the fact that people are really in love with what he did at the end of last year. And I liked it too. I can't lie. I like Michelle. I mean, he's as far as, you know, I think he's got LeGarrette Blount type, you know, he's kind of that LeGarrette Blount role at this point. And I mean, James White is never going to go away. I think he's going to have even a better year this year. Maybe not better, but pretty close to equal of his great PPR stats. And so, you know, he's never going to catch the ball, which is a huge downside to any running back that you're going to take in the first four rounds. And that's, you know, he's going, I think, in the fourth, right? Yeah, 407. And he doesn't catch passes. I mean, you can mark him down for 12 this year, you know, and that's – and then they brought in Damian Harrison, and they're going to bring Rex Burkhead back. And it's really crowded. Belichick doesn't care about any one person's stats. And if Damian Harrison starts – lighten up, you know, to start the season, he gets hot. And Michelle's good. I like Michelle. I wish they hadn't drafted Harrison because I would like Michelle more. And but man, it's a crowded backfield, and the Bellatrix thing, it just feels like it's coming right back around. The only guy I feel like I can trust in that backfield is James White with his pass catching upside. I just can't do it. Fourth round, too much, too high.
Yeah, and points, yeah.
Yeah, let's not forget about the reason why Sonny Michel didn't get hot until later on in the season. They babied the hell out of him due to the ACL injury and all his knee issues from college. I mean, can he even hold up from week one to week 16? And if anybody in the Belichick era at running back position can have numerous monster seasons in a row, I do think it's Michelle, but there's too many questions, you know, surrounding himself. It's the knee injuries that he's only had a few years ago. It's the numerous running backs. I mean, they took Damian Harris for a reason. I mean, Grant, yeah, he might have been their best player on the board, but they're not just going to have him sit. And he's way too talented to get in there maybe for two or three carries a game. Damian Harris is going to carve himself out a role in that offense. And you have James White, who I think they're going to get to the point where maybe they start using him more into like a role that Theo Riddick is used in Detroit. They have him lining up at wide receiver fairly often. I haven't watched a ton of the Patriots, so I'm not sure if they do that too much with him. But if they don't, they're probably going to start doing it this year since their depth isn't nowhere near what it should be. They don't have a good tight end now. I mean, it's there's too many running backs. There's too many factors to take a running back. And granted, there's a very good chance that he does finish within the top 20 running backs, which he's being selected in right now. It's just there's other guys who are being selected in the later rounds. There's guys that are going as like the running back, like RB30 and stuff. I just rather take those who I think I'm going to get better payoff for in the long run. Because like Eric said, Belichick's the type of guy is he'll play the hot hand. I mean, Damian Harris, if you know, say he gets in there and he just starts tearing it up from the get-go and looks like he's the next like LT or whatever, he's going to play more. He's going to get the majority of the carries. And listen, we can't pick anybody that has the potential to only have a handful of carries, you know, in certain games. That's too costly for fantasy owners. That's too costly for, you know, in order to offset that, you would have to have one of your other depth players have just a monster game, and it's too big of a gamble.
Yeah, I totally get it. I agree to an extent. I don't have him on my dislike list, but during my drafts this year, I'm not actively going out to draft him. I do have him in our dynasty league. And I actually got offered a trade for him, and I wasn't going to move him. And I do have high hopes for him. He was drafted in the first round, and the Patriots, they just don't do that. So it's like there's something there. I mean, Belichick and the Patriots family, they got to see something, and they're going to want to use him. I don't think James White. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say he's got upside. LeGarrette Blount ran for 18 touchdowns a few years ago, and that's what Michelle. I mean, if he's going to be that guy, and he could be, no question, could be 1,200 yards, 15 touchdowns. I mean, if he comes in and plays like he did at the end of last year, in the playoffs especially, he's going to be amazing. But his floor is very low because he doesn't catch passes, and that's just where I'm at in the fourth round.
Yeah, I mean, for the fourth round, it definitely makes a lot of sense. I don't think James White's going to be taking a lot of carries away from him. I think it's going to be a lot of James White's going to be out on the field a lot. Somebody's got to be out there to catch Gronk's balls. But, yeah, I mean, Harris is definitely going to come in and take some carries away, and that's what scares me a little bit. And I'm going to try to get Harris from – I think it's you that has him, Adam, in our Dynasty League, so you need to give him to me. But it's but, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a fair assumption, and to have him on both of your dislike lists, so I'm not gonna argue it.
One more final thing on that though too is the only way I think that he would be able to carve out a top 20 running back role like guaranteed is, or like I think the reason why some people think it's like a sexy pick is we don't know how Belichick and this Patriots offense is going to go now with Brady being even older. And this time he doesn't have Gronkowski after like 10 years. He doesn't have, you know, that many reliable options. Like, yeah, they took N'Keal Harry, but that's still a rookie. You know, you see how often rookies, especially, you know, for me coming from Detroit, how many first round wide receivers they flame out. I mean, outside of Julian Edelman, he has no security there. I mean, they could end up turning in potentially to a bigger run team, which would certainly benefit him. But we don't know yet. And I mean, by the time we do know, it could be too late to get Michelle or, you know, whatnot.
It's Belichick in that offense. You just can't trust anybody offensively except for when Gronk was there and he was healthy, and maybe Edelman. Other than that, I mean, it's just like it's throwing darts at the board, trying to see who's gonna come up big fantasy wise for them. You got Chris Hogan that could get 3 touchdowns in 1 week and then go 7 weeks without anything, and it's like he's the biggest waiver wire pick up the 1 week, and then all of a sudden he's just getting you zeros the rest of the time. So it's just, I don't know. I mean, again, I like Michelle, a little bit biased because I have him on one of my teams, but I'm not like, if it's between him and who else is going around him.
Kerryon Johnson, for example.
Yeah, if it's between him and Kerryon Johnson, I'm going with Kerryon.
Yeah, so right after him is Mark Ingram, Chris Carson, Kerryon, or Kenyon Drake. Kerryon's going slightly before him, a few picks before him. Philip Lindsay and David Montgomery is in the same round range, which I'd take either of them as well. I don't know if I'd take Mark Ingram. I really like Justice Hill, but I would definitely take Kenyon Drake, and I would take James White, who's going almost a full round later. He is going a full round later, and that's just where I'm at on it.
Yeah, all good running backs that could end up having big years. Even Ingram too. I think at least at the beginning of the season, he's going to put in some work, and then see what Justice Hill could do there. Moving on to one that I dislike. I'm going with Devonta Freeman here. He is ADP of 25, so that puts him like right at the beginning of the third round, first pick of the third round. I just can't trust him. Last year he missed 14 games. The year before that he did miss only 2 games, but still had a underwhelming season. He only finished one complete season in his whole career. He's supposed to be the number one back, and now with Coleman gone, it's definitely has the potential to be that this year, as long as he doesn't get injured. But then they go out and Ito Smith, I think, can definitely carry some of the load, and they go out and draft Quadri Olsen in the draft. So it's not like they weren't going to go out and attack anybody and grab a running back, because they did lose Coleman, so I didn't expect them not to get anybody. But, Olsen definitely has that potential to come in and take a bunch of the carries away. Freeman, he's definitely got to watch his back. Like I said, he only played 2 games last year, so there's not really much that we could go on for stats. Going back into 2017, 7 touchdowns, 865 yards in 14 games. So not even any sexy stats there for fantasy purposes, even though he only did miss 2 games. You basically got two seasons or one full season's worth of games, and he doesn't have those RB1, RB2 numbers that where he's being drafted at. More so RB2, but he doesn't have those numbers of where he's being drafted at to make me want to take him with the first pick in the third round.
Yeah, and I'm not in love with the idea of taking him in the first pick in the third round, or even the third round in general. But if he was a guy that happened to somehow fall because people want to take defenses or whatnot, if he fell to me at the end of round 4, round 5, I'd take him. But he's definitely someone that you'd have to monitor basically every practice that he has. You'd have to make sure he's a full participant. And the first sign of bad news, you need to get him off your team. You need to trade him, get what you can, because it's going to burn you at the end.
Yeah, I look at 301, Devonta Freeman, and the next 4 running backs that come after him are Leonard Fournette, Marlon Mack, Josh Jacobs, and Aaron Jones. And those are all absolute no-brainer over Devonta Freeman picks for me. Then Kerryon Johnson's next, I'm pretty sure. You know, I don't love Johnson this year. I like Johnson as a running back, as a player. I just don't love the situation as much. I worry about the committee stuff, but I might take Kerryon over him. But then after that, so right in that range, about a round later, Derrick Henry, Philip Lindsay, David Montgomery, Sony Michel, that might be where I start considering Devonta Freeman, because he does catch passes and he does, you know, he is a good running back. When he's healthy, he can, you know, yeah, that 14-game sample of 2 years ago with that, you know, there was just something wrong with the offense in general that year. It just didn't – it didn't get going like it usually does. But I think they've got those ticks worked out. And I don't hate Freeman this year. I just hate that he hasn't fallen even lower. I wish he would fall a little bit further for me. But, yeah, Fournette, Mac, Jacobs, Jones after him aren't even a question. And that's a full round right there. And so, yeah, I won't have any Devontae Freeman this year.
Yeah, unless he drops. And again, because then it starts to get into, like you mentioned, Lindsay and guys going around where Lindsay's going. It starts to get into Freeman there. If he falls to around where Lindsay's going, Freeman is the least one that's going to be in a committee, even though, yeah, Ito Smith and Olsen are there. They're definitely going to get some carries, but it gets you want to start getting the players that are least likely to be in a committee and handle more of the workload. So, and I think that's where Freeman does, because when he is healthy, yeah, he's going to be that guy. So it's all just
65% of his work. He's going to get 65% of the carries.
Exactly. No, so that's where you'd want to take him. But I just at 3-1, it's just a little too high for me.
Injury prone.
Can't have it. I only had one more guy on my dislike list, and after thinking about it, I really don't even want to mention it because it's really not. I just think there's about two guys that I would take before him. So it's really not a dislike. So I'll just leave it alone. Do you guys want to go over anyone else? I know, or Eric, you had two more that I marked down here, and then Adam.
Oh, I had one more. Oh, I do have two more.
Yeah, you got a couple wide receivers.
Yeah, and I'll touch on them lately. Thielen. I like Thielen. I think he's a really good football player, but the fact that, I mean, you look at the offense last year and where he started and then where it ended. And where it ended was a new offensive coordinator in a new system that very much favored Stephon Diggs. Now, do I think that it's going to be exactly like last year and Stephon Diggs is going to be just the one on that team going forward? No question. No, I don't. But I can get Diggs. I can get Diggs a full round after Thielen. I mean, Adam Thielen's going at the end of the second round. I can get Diggs at the end of the third round. There's no way I'm taking Adam Thielen, knowing that in that same spot in the next round, I have the potential to get Steph. Has higher upside, in my opinion, in the offense, proving from last year when they changed coordinators. That's who I'm taking. I'm going to take Diggs. I'm going to wait on Thielen and take Diggs in the next round. And my next one is Stephen Ridley. And I think I'm going to get some blowback, or Calvin Ridley. I'm sorry, Calvin Ridley. I think I was going to blow some blowback on that because he's he's exciting, and he's young, and he's in a high-powered offense. But I think that at 4-11, right before the number five turn, I'm going to get guys like Tyler Lockett after him, Sammy Watkins, Chris Godwin, Mike Williams, who we're going to touch on, I'm sure. You know, I just. A lot of his production came in three-game stretch last year. Let me see if I can find it.
Yeah, he was
Calvin Ridley here.
He was a tough one.
He had a really high percentage of targets turned into receptions. You know, he got targeted, he scored points, but he caught 10 touchdowns, and he only had 64 catches. And, you know, he's not – I guess he's the number two on his team, but Sanu's still there. There's still Hooper. There's still, but he scored 10 touchdowns. I think that number comes down no matter what. I can't see his receptions going up that much. I think he still finishes around 820 yards. So I think that his touchdowns come down. He finishes, you know, more like a round six guy. Yeah. And I could be wrong. Who knows? I mean, he is really good. I just think there's a lot of talent in that offense, and I just don't think that he's going to get as many touchdowns. And that's what catapulted him into this category right now.
Yeah, and one thing on each of your guys is you also have to remember when it comes to Adam Thielen is you, for like really the first time, you have a healthy Delvin Cook too in Minnesota. There's no guarantee he's going to stay healthy, but he's going into the season healthy, and they could potentially turn into a bigger run team because they have that reliable running back. If healthy, you know, Delvin Cook is one of the most talented running backs in the league. So that could be a huge effect.
What they
just
want to do.
And exactly. They added another pass catching option in the draft.
Right. I think that's more to replace Treadwell, though. But yeah, still, that's another mouth to feed as long as Treadwell and the rookies there. If in general, if this team turns into a running team, it could just affect everybody, you know, by even a potentially a round or two.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
Yeah, and then going to Kelvin Ridley, I mean, I'm a fan of his. I mean, I like his upside as long as Julio Jones is there, because no matter what team you go against, your main focus on stopping that offense is Julio Jones, which means Kelvin Ridley, even though they're going to have somebody on him at all times, he's not going to have to worry about double coverage. And as you said, that they have other, like, Hooper isn't a sexy fantasy tight end, but he does, you know, you have to at least respect him. And that just, to me, that opens up where, granted, he might not have a 12, 13, 14 point, you know, weekly output, but he's going to have some weeks where he's going to hit the 20 point mark. And if you can play the right matchup for that, I would take him.
Yeah. Yeah. I think next year, Sanu goes and Calvin Ridley is the third year wide receiver breakout guy that everybody's going to be looking at, and he's going to be a star. I think he's really great. I really do think he's great. I just don't – Sanu's still there. He's not going away. He is a good wide receiver. Calvin Ridley's better, but Sanu is good at the possession stuff. He does the things that they want to do on that offense. I just think the touchdowns come down and everything else kind of levels out. But the next year, it'll be flip-flop. I'll be Calvin Ridley high on.
I don't think I'm going to be grabbing too many Calvin Ridleys this year. If it's in the right spot, I would. Thielen, I wasn't really a big fan of Thielen. I know I was following closely along last year and had a couple posts on the frat page about him and just asking questions like, is he going to break this record or he's on pace to break this record? But I'm staying away from Thielen too, not just because of how high he's going. And you made a good point with Stephon Diggs going a full round later. I'd rather get Diggs over Thielen and solidify my first two picks elsewhere. Adam, you got one more guy. Do you want to touch on him?
Yeah, and my last guy is Rashad Penny. Right now he's going with a 75th pick, which is the tail end of round 5-ish, early round 6. He's going as RB32. And it's not that I don't think he can't live up to that. It's the way Chris Carson played last year, you'd have to imagine it's going to be a while before him to actually overtake Carson's RB1 role and to carve out something big enough to live up to that selection. I mean, you're still, like I said, you're talking about round 5 or 6. I really don't want guys in committees, and you really don't want to call it a committee because I don't know how big his role is going to be from the get-go. You know, he could be a guy that you're going to go and he's going to be your 5th and 6th round pick, and for the first 4 or 5 weeks, he could be getting a handful of carries each game. I mean, granted, we've seen it where he could take I think he's done it, I think maybe 2 times. He just had huge touchdown runs. I think one was like 80 some odd yards, and I might be wrong, but I think he hit like 90 yards on one. And I actually had some stock in him last year, and where he actually took that I think he only had like 5 carries, but due to that big run. And I just did get some information, and he's going at the 7th round, it looks like. But still, thank you to Eric for that. But still, it's still something you're 7th round guy, you could find your starting tight end in the 7th round. I mean, it's something where I wasn't expecting him to get picked this early. Like, honestly, I thought his ADP was going to be double digits. Like, granted, early double digits, like round 10 or 11. I just anywhere before 10, I'm really not going to feel too comfortable taking him right now.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I really don't think I'm going to have a lot of stock in Penny this year, which is funny because last year I wanted to have a lot of stock in him because I thought Seattle was going to be that run-first, run-heavy team. I didn't really think much of Chris Carson at all, and so I wanted a couple shares of Rashad Penny, hoping that he was going to be that next rookie great running back coming out. But I'm not mad at it. I'm probably not going to have too much of Penny this year. Carson, I will be targeting, definitely. Definitely want to get my hands on some Chris Carson, but Penny, whether it's whatever numbers that you have, whether he's fifth round, seventh round, eighth round, I'm not touching him until double digit rounds. He reminds me, like, I had hopes of him kind of like how I had hopes of Donta Foreman from Houston, and neither of them could just seem to get anything going for their teams. And speaking of Foreman, let's talk about his teammate, getting into the guys that we like. Lamar Miller is on your list, Eric. Why do you like him where he's at?
Well, it's all about where he's at. So I you know, Lamar Miller is not exciting. He's not a guy that's going to get you pumped up to watch him play. He's going to, you know, do his thing and get you RB2 numbers. That's what he's going to do. That's what he's done year after year in Houston and in Miami beforehand. He's much more exciting in Miami as a less than every down back kind of guy. But in Houston, he's got it done. He's not exciting. The first year he went to Houston, everybody overdrafted him. They took him in the first or second round, and then people got soured on him. And that's because he wasn't that guy. He's just not that guy. He's going to be a guy that grinds it out a little bit here and there and catches a few passes and does work. And, you know, he's an RB2. He's going to finish – if he's healthy this year, he's going to finish as an RB2. And he's going at 704. And he's going to finish in the top 20 if he's healthy all year. I don't care what you say to anybody. And the people going before him are Tevin Coleman, Daryl Henderson, Miles Sanders, Darius Geis, Tariq Cohen. I mean, give me a break. This guy's done it year after year. He's a proven RB2. He is what he is. And yeah, sure, maybe they have a little more upside. But I mean, Miles Sanders, I like Miles Sanders, but Peterson is a proven RBVC guy. Daryl Henderson, I moved up to get Daryl Henderson in our dynasty draft, but only because I am the proprietor of Todd Gurley, and I had to move up to grab him because I want to keep control of that Sean McVay backfield. But Tevin Coleman, I mean, come on. Like, and Kareem Hunt's going one pick after Lamar Miller. Kareem Hunt, who's not going to play 8 games, is going one pick after a guy that's going to finish as an RB2. And Rashad Penny's going after that. Latavius Murray's going after him, who I do like. But give me Laddie Murray, or give me Lamar Miller over all these guys in this whole range. I think he's a steal right now. I think he's a steal.
Yeah, one thing that you didn't mention is he doesn't have any competition for carries in that backfield. I mentioned Foreman, and as long as Foreman's healthy, he's going to be in there a little bit. But after that, there's nobody that's going to be taking carries away from Lamar Miller and Donta Foreman. Yeah, I mean, they didn't really go out and grab anybody in the draft. They didn't pick up any of the free agents. I thought Houston was going to be the number one landing spot for Le'Veon Bell. Obviously, that didn't happen. Lamar Miller is in a great situation. The offense is good. They kind of bolstered that offensive line a little bit to help them out and to help out Deshaun Watson from getting sacked 60 times. But I think – I 100% agree with you, and Lamar Miller is definitely on my target list. He just has to stay healthy. I mean, that's the biggest thing. If he stays healthy, he can maybe even crack like the top 15. I could say that.
Yeah, he's honestly, for the last couple of years, he's arguably been the surest mid-round pick as far as I can remember. If you know what you're going to get, he doesn't let you down now that he's getting picked at the proper time in your drafts. And this, you know, you mentioned on the offensive line's better now, but he's been posting these solid numbers with one of the worst offensive lines any running back has ever had. I mean, and he's still just chugging along, making his own room. I mean, if you give him a Pittsburgh Steelers offensive line, he could be cracking top 10 running back numbers. I mean, you would have to at least say he would flirt with him.
For sure.
And he's old reliable. I mean, until basically he gets competition or he retires, I'm gonna at least look for him because I know at worst I have a flex play at worst who can give me double digit points and he'll outscore a handful of tight ends every week. Half the time he outscores, you know, your wide receiver three if you play in three wide receiver formations. I mean, you know,
so you're getting him around 7. You know what I mean? You're getting him at second flex spot price. It's it's kind of ridiculous. He's a freebie to me. I'm going to take him. If he's in round seven, every league I'm in, I'm taking him. I might have a lot of shares.
You can't go wrong.
It's an excellent guy to start with. Round seven, you pretty much have your two running backs situated, two or three wide receivers situated, might even have your tight end situated. Go out and grab a Lamar Miller, and you're pretty set for the year. Next guy I want to talk about, Mike Evans, the wide receiver from Tampa Bay. He is going, his ADP right now is about 20, which is, middle of the second round. Middle of the second round. I think he should be higher than that. He's right for me. He's probably right after your Michael Thomas, DeAndre Hopkins, guys like that. He's probably my wide receiver 4, maybe wide receiver 5, and I'm high on Jameis Winston this year. I think that Bruce Arians is going to get the best out of Winston. Number one, Winston is in a, and you don't really see it a lot in the NFL as much as you do in like the NHL, but they call it a contract year. He's playing for a job. He's playing for a contract, whether it's in Tampa Bay or some team wants to go out and sign him to a big contract in the offseason. This is the last year of his contract, his rookie deal. He's playing for some big bucks. Mike Evans, no matter who's under center, Mike Evans always performs. Last year, he performed with Ryan Fitzpatrick and a little bit of a struggling Jameis Winston. A couple years before that, it's been Jameis Winston. And I just think that this offense is going to be a lot better, and Mike Evans is going to reap all the benefits. And they did lose Adam Humphries in free agency, so that's going to be even more targets going to Evans' way. So, yeah, his ADP is not really high per se, and I didn't think that we were going to touch on a lot of the guys that are in maybe the top 20. But, I mean, I'm taking him 10 times out of 10. I'd even take him at the 12-13 turn, depending on how the first round went. If those first couple wide receivers that I mentioned are gone and I could get a legit running back and then Mike Evans at number 13, I would not hesitate doing that.
Yeah, and I get it too. I'm not as high as you are on Jameis Winston. I do think he'll show vast improvement underneath Bruce Arians. But I mean, I like him. I think it's fair value getting him in the second round. I mean, he'll give you borderline potential top, like the best wide receiver numbers. But if he's still, he's a guy that you get him at the end, even the end of the first. I mean, if you want to say, Thomas, and honestly, I would take him after Thomas too. I mean, I'd take him as the second wide receiver off the board just because if Jameis Winston does have like a monster year, like which everybody's predicting, he should really just, it would kind of be sort of a, who knows, maybe like a 16,000-17,000 yard season and, double digit touchdowns, which will definitely put him borderline, wide receiver one, like legit, like the main wide receiver in all of fantasy this year. It's just Jameis Winston, he has Bruce Arians. Now the thing is, though, we don't know if he just sucks in general. I mean, no matter who your coach is, if you're just not a good quarterback, you're just not a good quarterback. So it's hard to, it's hard to argue either way about his value being, likable. I mean, I think it was expected. I mean, it's basically, if I'm not mistaken, this has been his ADP for probably since after his rookie year, I think.
Yeah, he's going around where he always goes. I was where I was on Mike Evans, where everybody probably is. And then I saw him on Jerry's list about, as an upside guy at 20, which I thought was kind of crazy. And then I kind of dove into the stats. And, he's been as excellent as a receiver in 5 years could be. He's up there with Randy Moss and AJ Green, 1,000 yards in their first 5 years. He's just the model of consistency and has all the big play also on top of model of consistency, all the big play upside as well. And I started diving into the numbers a little bit and looking at it. And I'm with Jerry. I'm starting to think that, I want him over Odell Beckham. I do. I want him above Odell Beckham. I don't know Juju Smith-Schuster and Mike Evans are probably about right around where, just because of the unsurety of the nuances of the Steelers offense going forward with Juju, I don't think he's going to lack targets and lack production. I just who knows what they're going to do about Juju. I still love Juju. I'm going to take him in the middle of the second round, but maybe I like Evans' upside over Juju. I think that he has more upside. He's got that enormous, like you said. I don't know about 16, 1,700 yards, 12 touchdowns, but, I mean, it could happen. He had 15, 24 last year. He's had 12 touchdowns before. So, I mean, it's right in that range, and he will definitely absolutely be WR1 if he gets 1,600 yards and 12 touchdowns. That's and if you get him at wide receiver pick 20, you're going to win your league, unless you suck somewhere else. That's, you know, that's where it is.
Yeah, my biggest problem with him is if Jameis Winston comes into the season and somehow he puts up a stinker and gets benched, I mean, you don't have Fitzpatrick, who is a very good backup quarterback. You have, what, like Ryan Griffin or whatever, like, who I don't even think has ever played in an actual regular season NFL game. So, I mean, there's a lot of questions. I mean, how good can you be?
Don't even think that's a possibility. I don't think it's in any way a possibility once it gets benched this year. Not a question. I think no matter what happens, Bruce Arians is going to see what he has of Bruce in Winston. If he sucks all year long, then Bruce Arians has, you know, a top pick in the draft next year and a quarterback heavy class. But he's going to ride Winston, and Winston's going to make mistakes, but he's going to throw big balls, and he's going to make big plays, which is what Bruce Arians wants to do. He took a, 75-year-old Carson Palmer and turned him into a, you know, top five quarterback. And that's – Bruce Arians likes to chuck the ball. He likes to play deep, and that's what Winston does. And as long as he can, you know, keep the mistakes a little minimal and their offense can kind of move the ball, you know, the offense is a little suspect. The defense sucks, which actually helps Evans. And Winston, I think I see big things. I see big things.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. There's really no competition behind him. There's no threat to Winston. There's no way that he's not playing all 16 games unless he gets injured. So Winston's going to go out there. Like I said, he's got a contract to play for. He's got not even just a contract. He's got a job to play for. Even if he plays half as good as what we think he's going to play, that's going to earn him a backup job somewhere at least. So he's got to go out there and make some noise happen. So moving on to the next guy here, Adam, you've pretty much got your whole list full. I don't think we've touched on you at all yet for likes. So why don't you go kick us off with one of your guys?
Well, I'm going to go with Mark Ingram, who is being selected with the 40th pick right now. And he's RB21. And I think that's tremendous value. I mean, we've seen what he did as basically, you know, the Saints offense was dynamic, but he's basically the backup quarterback or backup running back, excuse me, to Alvin Kamara. And now he's going in with at least the first handful of weeks, he's going in as the undoubtedly main guy there. And Eric touched on that he likes Justice Hill, which so do I. I think he's a dynamic running back. But at worst, I think Ingram finishes in the top 15. I mean, I don't see there's any way of him not at least, you know, finishing. Yeah, he's going to finish way better than 21. I mean, I can't see anywhere where he doesn't. I mean, he's going to outplay his draft position. I think, you know, because Grant, yeah, he's an older running back, but he hasn't carried the load in how many years? I mean, Alvin Kamara, and then before then, if I'm not mistaken, he was suspended. So it's like he still has – his legs are a lot fresher than his ages. So I think it's going to be huge, giving him the opportunity to get 20, you know, carries a game. He's a – you know, you can say he's a sleeper in the pass game because if he catches the ball, I mean, he can really go. I mean, he's not, you know, a Alvin Kamara, a Christian McCaffrey, or a Tariq Cohen, but, I mean – he can do something in the pass game too. In PPR leagues, I think he definitely finishes, you know, in the top 15 or at, you know, at the running back position. And I'll take that all day with the 40th pick.
Yeah, it's really good value for him. I mentioned it earlier. I do like Ingram this year. I don't like their quarterback situation. So really the only thing that scares me is how is how the offense could just be one-dimensional. It's going to be a lot of quick hits to Hollywood Brown and a lot of running option plays and running plays. So I think that Hill's going to get in there a lot. Ingram's going to get in there a lot. So even if they do a 50-50 split or an RBBC, it's going to be Ingram is going to get – he's going to get some work. That offense is going to be a lot of running the ball and short passes like that and trying to win with their defense that they ended up kind of stripping down a little bit. But, I mean, it's Baltimore, so they always end up putting together some pretty solid defenses.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, if I'm honestly – I'm hoping Justice Hill gets hot. I'm hoping he gets so hot where you can get Ingram in the fifth or sixth round just because – people are so scared that basically Justin Hill is going to come in there and be the RB1 because if they feel like that, I'm going to just sit and wait and take Ingram and get my value for him and get more than my value because we've seen if he can carve out and have a good role with Alvin Kamara, I don't think there's really any running back that's going to basically make it where he's a bench guy. I mean, I don't think any running back is going to take it where he can't at least have – you know, double-digit carries per game, you know, a few catches here and there. I don't see anybody stopping him from at least carving out a mid-round value at all once the season ends.
Not at all. It's I definitely wouldn't mind having a couple shares of Ingram on a couple of my teams this year. PPR, non-PPR, he's definitely a guy that I will be looking at. And hopefully – Even with Lamar Jackson under center, hopefully he can do some damage and give me some good quality fantasy points. We are running a little long, so we're probably not going to be able to finish all of our lists. Let's maybe go through one more each. Let's try to give the fans something that they can that could take with us and hopefully use and win their leagues this year. So, Eric, why don't you do one more pick, one more of your next couple of guys and give us your best spiel on them.
But you guys are surprised at all at who I'm going to pick. Mike Williams, man, I'm the biggest fan this year of who he's going to be. I think that as far as the whole third-year wide receiver breakout conversation, he is as stereotypical that guy as you could possibly put your hands on. I traded this year in our dynasty. And we had a draft that was not a rookie draft. It had a bunch of good vets in it, too. And I traded the second pick of the second round this year, which is where, you know, a lot of guys were still available. With Sammy Watkins, who's going above Mike Williams, you know, right now. There was a lot of good Tyler Boyd going way above Mike Williams. I traded that pick plus my first round pick next year to get Mike Williams because I honestly believe that He's the next big guy. He's the next big thing that's coming. I think that he outscores Keenan Allen this year in all formats. I think that he's going to have the year that you're looking for in any breakout player. I think that he's you know, a lock for 10 touchdowns, a lock for 1,000 yards. The receptions is kind of where, you know, there's 110 available receptions that have been vacated, but through Tyrell Williams and Antonio Gates, Hunter Henry's going to come in and take some of that. But I think that he takes some of the Keenan Allen stuff. I think that Phillip Rivers is going to realize what he's got downfield deep every single play. And instead of checking down to Keenan Allen, he's going to put that ball up deep into a guy that can go up and get anything. And I wouldn't be – this is an upside thing. Who knows? But I wouldn't be surprised if it was 85 receptions – 1,300 yards, 12 touchdowns, which would put him in the top three, top five wide receivers in the league. He's my guy this year. He is my guy. And that's my take.
Yeah, the potential is definitely there. And I know a lot of this podcast and a lot of our podcasts in general really don't go too much into like dynasty rankings and stuff like that. It's more so redraft. And a lot of our talk today was I guess for a lot of it was for this year, but we did mention our dynasty a lot in this podcast. But where is Mike Williams to you as far as like because of his quarterback situation? I mean, Rivers isn't getting younger, another 1, 2, 3 years left in him. Are you still that high on him because even with that?
In a dynasty?
Yeah, because obviously this year Rivers is there and and he's where you got him. So, yeah, we'll say five years down the road.
I think my trade perfectly reflects how I feel about Mike Williams going forward in our dynasty, is that I give up my first-round pick. I had already traded my first-round pick, but I finished second last year, so I had the second pick in the second round, which was essentially a first-round pick in this draft since there was a lot of really good bets. It was kind of a weird draft in our dynasty. It was a little different, but you know, there was a lot of good guys at that pick, and I knew they were there, but I wanted Mike Williams that bad that I not only traded that pick, but my first round pick next year. And granted, don't get me wrong, I have a strong team, so I anticipate that pick next year being later. I do. And so I did weigh that, but man, I'm all in. I'm all in on Mike Williams. I will probably have full shares.
That's definitely nice to hear, because it's a guy that I know I liked his rookie year, even though he was hurt a lot of it. And last year, I had a couple shares of him. This year, I'll probably grab a couple more shares of him. I'm not as high on him as you are, but I mean, L.A., just overall as a team, I like to root for L.A. I like the Chargers. I like Rivers. I like Keenan Allen. So to have him on my team, I would not be against that. Adam, any Mike Williams thoughts?
Eric's kind of flirting with the craziness, to be honest. Keenan Allen's there, and I think as long as Keenan Allen's there, I don't ever see Mike Williams being a fantasy wide receiver one. I think he's going to step into a spot this year where he's going to be a very reliable flex play. If you play in any leagues that you start three wide receivers, I know I'm in one. You can grab him and put him in your, you know, as your number three, maybe your number two receiver. In Dynasty, though, he scares the crap out of me just for because Rivers, say he just hangs it up this year, they have nobody back there. I mean, they took Easton Stick, who I do like for the future, but it's I don't know if he's going to be good enough to give everybody, you know, Hunter Henry, Keenan Allen, and Mike Williams all relevancy. Right now Rivers, he does such a good job at making his tight end and like basically his top three receivers all worthy of basically starting every week. It's Easton Stick, you know, it's for one, he's never even played a professional game. He just got drafted this year. And it was, I think, a fifth round pick. You know, so there's no guarantee he comes out and makes the team this year as the backup. And if he does, it's still a question of if he can, you know, even do anything in the pros. I mean, he went to the same school as and played on the same offense as Carson Wentz. So there's hope there, but if I'm gambling away my future, like Eric did in our league, or if I'm taking Mike Williams early in a keeper or a dynasty league or any player like that, I would want to know that my quarterback is either A, young, which Rivers is not, or B, there's a quarterback that's on that roster who you feel like is the future. Right now, they don't have that. I'm hoping Easton Stick could be that just because I've seen him play in college. I think he has a tremendous amount of talent. It's just he hasn't even played a preseason game yet, so I can't even judge. I have no professional film to judge that their potential backup quarterback or their potential future. I have no tape to judge him on. If it was like, you know, I feel the same way. If it was like, basically gambling on, say, N'Keal Harry. He has Brady for, you know, 2-3 years. Brady said he wanted to play for, you know, for quite a few more years. But if he doesn't, I mean, who do they have on that team that is going to give N'Keal Harry, who has enough talent to make N'Keal Harry a first-round dynasty league pick for the next, you know, 10 years? Or, you know, it's same for, like, Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, they have Josh Dobbs. They took Mason Rudolph. I would feel more comfortable like for Mike Williams in like if it was in Pittsburgh. I mean, I think Mason Rudolph, I think he can go in there, and you know, we've seen him in preseason. I think Mason Rudolph, he could go and be a potential top starting quarterback when it's his time to come in and step into the starting role if he earns it in Pittsburgh. It's just I might think of it differently. I don't know how you do it or anybody else, but if I'm gambling on players, young players who do have, you know, they do have talent, I want to make sure the pieces around them are stable and have as bright a future as that said player.
Yeah, it's hard because we didn't, like I said, we didn't really specify if we're talking about dynasty or redraft, and 100%, like, I think we're all going to agree that we would take Mike Williams in redraft, but dynasty, that's why I asked Eric the question, to kind of get his opinion on where he thinks things are going 3 years down the road, 4 years down the road, when Rivers decides to hang out with all of his kids and hang them up finally. But, I mean, I've taken N'Keal Harry in early and, well, in my rookie drafts that I've had so far, and I picked at number three in one of them, and I picked at, I don't remember where I picked in the other one, but in two of my rookie drafts, I have taken N'Keal Harry. So it's the Tom Brady thing really doesn't scare me there, but the Mike Williams thing scares me a little bit without a Phillip Rivers.
And see, I do see your point, though, about the whole Patriots thing, and the reason why is I have a strong hunch that they find their backup to Tom Brady in the 2020 draft. And there's a handful of guys that if they select, and I'm going to go out and do this, basically this prediction a year early, you know, we're what, 11 months. I think no matter what their record is, no matter if Brady retires or not, they go quarterback in round one next year. And they do what Green Bay did with Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. They're going to go get a Jake Fromm. They're going to go get a, I can't think of the quarterback from Oregon, Justin Herbert. They're going to go get him or a Tua, and they're going to have them sit for 2 or 3 years. And when Brady hangs them up, they're not going to miss a beat. So that's why I was not afraid to get N'Keal Harry. I even think I even asked you for your first round pick in our draft, and N'Keal Harry was going to be my pick if you would have gave me that round one guy or that round one selection, because I believe that they go and they draft that quarterback this year, and Belichick just, he finds more magic. I mean, I think he goes and, you know, I think, man, if you want to learn from anybody, and we've talked about this before, we're huge fans of sitting and having these guys, you know, especially quarterbacks, sit and learn from legit superstars now, like Breeze and Rodgers and of all quarterbacks. Brady is the guy that you want to go sit and learn from. I mean, Elway, Montana, I don't care. If I had my choice, and everybody, you know, unless you're from Boston, you hate because the Patriots win. The thing is, though, if you're a player and you want to learn from a quarterback, past or present, you go and you pick Tom Brady.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So we got a couple more. I got one more. You got one more, and then we're going to wrap it up. Got a couple of things to talk about after. So I won't spend too much time on it. My next guy that I like, and you're going to love this one, it's Kerryon Johnson at his ADP is 37 right now, which is basically third, fourth round right now. And that is fourth round right now. That's the second pick of the third round, fourth round. That's a steal. You're still the way I typically think about it is he's still a running back. He's an RB1 on his team. He's pretty much going to lead his team in carries and even pass catching. He's not going to lead the whole team in pass catching, but pass catching by running backs, he's going to be up there. And he's the complete package. He is. I loved him last year. I had a piece on the fantasy football fraternity page on him last year. I kind of stole him from underneath you talking about him because I knew that you wanted to talk about him, but I made my story first. And I love the kid. I was all in on him last year, and he didn't let me down in a lot of games. I know he missed some time, and but just overall, I think he's the complete package. I'm not gonna put him in the same sentence as Barry Sanders, but he's the running back that Detroit's been looking for since Barry Sanders, and I think that he is just gonna get better. They went out and Detroit went out and drafted TJ Hockenson in the first round. So that's just going to help open things up with having Galladay, Hockenson, and Jones on the outside. The run game is just going to be better. I think they're going to look to run a little bit more to kind of help save Stafford's shoulder, and Hockenson is a great blocker as well as a good pass catcher. So that offense is just going to be able to move the ball a little bit more, and Johnson is going to be a big part of it. So to get him in the fourth round, to get your RB2 even, so I mean, you could go in there with a draft strategy of a top, one of the top running backs in the first round, and then just solidify your wide receivers in round two and round three, and still end up with Kerryon Johnson. I mean, that's a recipe for success right there, just in your first four picks.
Yeah, and I'd love to. And, like, you know, some people kind of shy away from Kerryon because they, you know, they signed C.J. Anderson. But if anything, I think C.J. Anderson helps him more than anything, because it's going to make sure he's healthy for 16 games, unless it's a freak accident. And, you know, I'm over here knocking on the table, knock on wood, that there is no freak accidents, but they're going to make sure he's healthy and he's fresh. And, you know, I've watched every game Kerryon Johnson played, every snap he played this year. You see how explosive he is when there's an opening long enough for him to get through. I mean, he's over there making linebackers and DBs look foolish. And now, I tell you right now, yeah, you take him in rounds four, somehow round five, I mean, he's going to give you your value and more. And in dynasty leagues, if and no one's drafted yet, and you're doing just a straight up dynasty league, you take him super early. I mean, if you're a startup league, you take him in round two or three just because of his age, and you ride him as one of your main guys. I mean, he's going to do insane things for Detroit. The new OC wants to run. I think it's in the team's best interest if they went more of that route. Stafford, we've seen that he can handle the load, but it seems like he can never just finish the mission. And I think if we get to more of the 55% passing, 45% running plays, I think that's just going to be huge for the team and for Kerryon. And, man, I think he could potentially produce, you know, second or third round numbers this year. You know, I think he can challenge a Joe Mixon for value. I think he can even maybe produce as much as Todd Gurley, and I'm saying that because Todd Gurley, there's a strong possibility he misses some games. And plus, I do think them taking Darrell Henderson so early, I think we kind of see by force Gurley gets into a running back by committee due to his health. And yeah, I think he can match, if not outplay, some of these round two running backs we see getting selected.
Yeah, no doubt about that. It's going to be fun to see. Kerryon Johnson he's at the top of my – well, not the top of my board, but he's at the top of my board for targets that I'm looking at outside of the third and fourth round. So definitely going to be looking his way and having a lot of shares of him. One more guy from you, and then we'll get into our closing, wrap it up, and talk about some big things that we got going on.
I'm going to go with Chris Godwin. I've told you – the guys in our chat for Fantasy Football Fraternity, basically anybody that listened to me, I told them, take Chris Godwin, and he's going to end up being your wide receiver too. And I do think if Jameis Winston has a good year, like you predict, Eric, and quite a few other people, I think Chris Godwin finishes with borderline wide receiver one numbers. I think they're, you know, with Adam Humphries leaving, with Bruce Arians, who should be able to get, if not a superstar out of Jameis Winston, at least a productive year. And I know I mentioned earlier that, you know, what if he gets benched? I say that just because it's not that I don't have faith in Winston. There is that chance, though. But if he have a good season, I could see, you know, 1,200 yards, you know, 6 to 8 touchdowns for Godwin. And I think, you know, he's being drafted as the 23rd receiver off the board at pick 58. I think he cracks the top 15 with a good season from Jameis Winston. He will never have to worry about double coverages with Mike Evans being there. You have to respect Cameron Bright, their tight end. You have to respect O.J. Howard. And this can even help if the run game starts working. I mean, a decent run game could really open stuff in the passing game. We've seen it basically any team that runs the ball successfully. We see how it turns at the overall offense into just something else. So I'm going to take numerous shares on Chris Godwin. In our Dynasty League, I selected him last year, and I have had offers for him. I've had people message me, and the price is high, and it should be. I think this is a guy that's going to – he might be arguably the steal of drafts when it comes to wide receivers. I think he can just – he's going to have a crazy year this year.
Yeah, I think he's definitely going to build on his numbers. As I mentioned, I'm a big Winston believer this year, but also with Humphreys gone, the run game is the biggest thing. They got to get that going. And I know Eric mentioned earlier about the defense not being as good. That's definitely going to help him out. I mean, with the defense not good, giving up points, that's gonna put the ball back into Winston's hands so he can and be playing from behind. So, I mean, Tampa as a whole, they're probably not going to be that well. They're probably going to be picking in the top 10 again, just like they did this past year. But I think offensive players on that side of the ball, you definitely want on your fantasy team this year. Ron Jones is another one that he might even be one of my breakout guys that we're going to be talking about on our draft guide, which we'll get into a little bit in a couple minutes. But just overall, I think Tampa, you want to target some Tampa players and to help you win your leagues this year. I think it's going to be a good offense from them. But that's going to wrap it up for the main portion of the show. We did lose Eric, unfortunately, due to some technical difficulties. That's why he hasn't really chimed in for the past couple players that we've been talking about. We do appreciate him coming on. Wish he was still here to kind of go over our outro with us. But let's talk a little bit about this draft guide that we got. So we're currently working on an online magazine draft guide to kind of help you just basically win your leagues. Got a bunch of guys going in at it and giving all their opinions and just backing it up with stats and facts and just a basically like a workshop, just going back and forth with all of our knowledge and putting together some pretty good stuff for the guide. So it's going to be available. We're pushing for early part of August, looking to have it done by the end of July. So putting it all together, have it early part of August. Don't want to give away too much. A little bit of what we talked about today is going to be in there. We're going to have rankings in there. It's basically like going to your local corner store or local supermarket and buying a magazine, except for it's digital, so we're able to update it more frequently and more often so it isn't outdated. Anything you want to touch on as far as that goes, Adam?
Well, I think it's definitely something to look forward to. You know, we're putting a lot of time and effort into it. We're making sure that, you know, when we give our predictions that are going to be in there, we're going to try to make sure that they're something that you guys definitely, can build on your teams. Our rankings are going to be very thorough. I mean, we're going like top 35 quarterbacks, I think we all agree basically on the number for running back and wide receivers going to be 60. And so it's going to be in-depth. And like you said, the thing that, that's going to separate us from, basically any, Sports Illustrated magazine or Lindsay Sports or anything. It's what's going to separate us is that we have the chance to actually update all the way up until basically the end of drafts. I mean, if there's an injury during the preseason, the magazines don't show you that. They don't show you the effect it can have on players negatively or the stop that can potentially, that can rise from an injury. And we have the opportunity to do that. And this thing's going to be updated basically, if a player, hurts his ankle enough where he has to miss, a half a week of practice, we're going to make sure they know about it. We're going to know that, for this week it might be, going into the season, it might be better to take this guy and his replacement because it seems like the injury bug is already biting this guy. And it's going to be good for everybody. It's going to be good for our guys because, our followers, because it's something that they don't get to have. I mean, even other sports apps and bigger sports companies, they don't do a live guide where you can literally, like, while you're drafting, we're updating stuff. And I think that's going to be key to a lot of players actually doing maybe, newbies or early, players that's only been doing this for a while. I think this can really help them actually just be successful quicker.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be something to look out for. So we're just going to keep on mentioning it as these pods go on, because that's basically, like I said, that's what we're working on in the evenings. That's what we're working on our day offs. And it's going to be a well put together guide. It's not going to be half-assed. It's not just a bunch of guys' opinions. It's legit. We're putting legit time into it, and we're putting legit facts and stats into it. So definitely keep a lookout for that. It is something that we're taking a lot of pride in, and we hope that we can continue this for the years that follow too. But with that, we're going to wrap it up. Went a little long today, but I mean, we're getting back into the podcast game. Like I said, I know we haven't, we had a pod last week, but before that we were off for 2 weeks. So, we're going to start getting them back out every week now. So just continue to listen. We do appreciate it. It's been a pleasure. Check out the Fantasy Football Fraternity page. Check out the Great Lakes Football Talk Facebook page. Check us out on Anchor, Spotify, anywhere else that you can listen to podcasts. This is episode 11 right now, so we got 10 other episodes to listen to, plus unnumbered episodes around the draft time that we had. So a lot of stuff to listen to during your work day, during while you're sitting at the office on your long ride to work, and going on road trips. So just pop us in and just get some football knowledge.